Alive 90.5. Here's the latest news, brought to you by Pace, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Good morning, I'm Laura Devoy. The World Health Organization has welcomed the finding of a cheap drug that is effective in preventing coronavirus deaths. A clinical trial in the UK found anti-inflammation drug dexamethasone saved the lives of a third of COVID-19 patients on ventilators in hospital. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has labelled the drug the biggest breakthrough yet in treating the virus, while the US's top infectious disease expert Anthony Fauci says it's a significant improvement on existing therapeutic options. The WHO says work on developing other life-saving therapeutics and vaccines is continuing. Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews has welcomed a potential takeover of the state party branch by the National Executive after allegations of possible corruption. Labor's National Executive has backed a plan put forward by Mr. Andrews, allowing party elders Jenny Macklin and Steve Brax to administer the Victorian branch while an audit of all members takes place. Mr. Andrews sacked one minister and two others have resigned in the wake of reports of alleged branch sacking. Mr. Andrews says major reform is needed to restore confidence in internal elections.
Well, there's no democracy if you can't have faith and trust in the voters' role. And I've come to the conclusion that that's the position we're in. I won't settle for that. We need to clean this up, and we will.
A Melbourne childcare centre has been forced to close after a staff member tested positive for COVID-19. It's one of 21 new cases diagnosed in Victoria in the past 24 hours, 15 of which are in hotel quarantine. A health department spokesman confirmed the childcare worker attended the centre while infectious for 2 days last week, and families have been notified. The centre has been closed today for deep cleaning and contact tracing. Meanwhile, New South Wales has reported just one new COVID-19 case in the past 24 hours, with the infected person in hotel quarantine. There are growing calls for the federal government to introduce national laws to protect Indigenous heritage. It comes after mining giant Rio Tinto blew up historic caves on an Aboriginal heritage site in Western Australia earlier this year. The caves are believed to be tens of thousands of years old and held evidence humans lived there 46,000 years ago. Jamie Lowe from the Native Title Council told the ABC national laws are needed to prevent more Aboriginal heritage sites from being destroyed, and he says traditional owners should be included in decision making.
More power needs to sit with the traditional owners in these processes, and so to give them the resources to do their own investigations and then, you know, protect their own heritage.
Two people are missing at sea after a boat capsized near Coral Bay on Western Australia's midwestern coast. Four adults were on board the vessel when it capsized yesterday. Two of the passengers were able to swim to shore and raise the alarm just after 8:30 last night. They are receiving medical treatment. Despite an extensive search overnight, the other two passengers and the boat remain missing. World sprint champion Christian Coleman says he's facing a possible suspension after another violation of anti-doping rules. The 24-year-old American has confirmed he is under investigation for a missed test last December. Three failures to properly file information about an athlete's whereabouts in a 12-month period can result in a 1 or 2 year suspension. In a statement, Coleman says he is appealing the Athletics Integrity Unit's ruling that he missed the test.
National Radio News is supported by the Judith Nielsen Institute for Journalism and Ideas and the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.org.au.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5, brought to you by Concise Finance, your local mortgage broker.
It's currently 15 degrees and we're looking towards a top of 17 degrees. There's showers around and it's drizzly here right now at Baulkham Hills. High chance of showers, most likely in the late morning and afternoon, easing later this evening. The winds are going to be from the south-southwest, 15 to 20 kilometres an hour, tending southeasterly, 20 to 35 kilometres an hour late in the morning. The sun will set tonight at 6 minutes to 5. It seems to be stuck on that at the moment as we're in this winter part of the year. Looking for the rest of the week, Thursday, mostly cloudy, 10 to 18. Friday, mostly sunny, 8 to 20. Saturday, mostly sunny, 8 to 20 degrees. And Sunday, possible shower, 10 to 16.
The updated traffic brought to you by Fernwood Gym of Seven Hills and North Rocks on Alive 90.5.
Just the one incident today, this morning, Liverpool, Hume Highway near Rose Street. A truck breakdown, 1-3 northbound lanes closed. Transport for New South Wales is in attendance. Advice is allow extra travel time and exercise caution. It's 6 minutes past 10. You're on Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario. Good morning, Mario. How
are you?
Good
morning, darling. How are you?
Very good.
It was just stepped out and it slowly started raining. You know, the sun was start setting, you know what I mean? It was blue sky. And unfortunately, you know what I mean? it's gonna be a rainy day. But you know, you with us in the studio on Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren. And I'd like to say good morning, Australia. Good morning, listeners and sponsors of Alive 90.5. And it's a true pleasure and privilege to share next 2 hours with you. You're listening, Business Insights with Mario, and with me in studio, producer of this awesome show, Darren Capes Davis, the engine behind the most popular favorite community radio station in the world, Alive 90.5. FM and the Business Insights with Mario. But as I say, you know, Darren, you know, like the temperature outside is slowly dropping, but we're going to make it this.
It's always warm in the studio.
Yeah, well, it's like we're going to soon have the jackets, but luckily we have aircon. We'll take a short break and then we're going to introduce our guest, and you need to stay with us for one simple reason. Do you know how to recuperate your most valuable assets? Well, our guest is going to discover with you in the next 2 hours. So stay with us. Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario.
Alive 90.5.
Said, son, look like that love got a hold on you, but it's too tight to mention. I can't get an unemployment extension, but it's too tight to mention. I went to my brother to see what he could do. Said, brother, I'd like to help you. Call him my father, father, almighty father. Say, money's too tight to mention.
know that paying for a funeral can be a financial burden. However, have you ever thought of paying off a prepaid funeral? With none of the ongoing premiums that is associated with funeral insurance, $1,000 can get you started. Hills Family Funerals, a family-owned and operated business of 35 years, can make it easier for you. Call 02 9659 0900. Ask for Richard Spiteri or speak to one of the friendly staff members to learn how. Get assistance today. Call Hills Family Funerals, station sponsor.
Need an honest, reliable service centre for your car? Then contact United Service Centre Toongabby. They perform mechanical repairs on all types of vehicles and are specialists in top quality European cars too. And all work is at very affordable prices. You'll find them at 5 Picasso Crescent, Old Toongabby, next door to United Fuel on Fitzwilliam Road. Book your next vehicle service on 9631 1179. You'll be so impressed, you'll tell all your friends. United Service Centre Toongabby is a proud sponsor of The Morning Magazine with Happy Jack and Alive 90.5.
It is possible to stop using drugs.
We can help.
Call Narcotics Anonymous, 1300 652 820.
Or look us up on the web, na.org.au.
Alive 90.5, all the way from the 70s, 80s, 90s and today.
It's 13 minutes past 10, you're on Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario. Now let me just get... Yes, Facebook Live going.
No,
we
no,
are
fine,
on Facebook Live. Good morning, Facebook Live. A few just tweaks there that we're getting ready.
Eventually, we are live on Facebook
we
as well.
We are on Facebook, yes.
And you can tune every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. and Friday 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. on a Business in Mario on a Facebook page. And you can see the beauty, sheer beauty and knowledge and... You know, like, of course, our awesome guest in the studio, where before we continue, darling, I heard this one, Narcotics Anonymous. You mean narcotics, or is it really narcotics?
I think we just got to reach out if you need help on anything, Mario.
Let's go back and clear. I didn't want this English, you know, I mean, if it's narcotics, you know, I mean, it wasn't me, so. But, you know, we have that today, a very, very interesting guest in the studio. As usually, all our guests are in studio with us. They are not just ordinary people. They are ordinary people with the superpowers, powers which they can help you. Now, I guess he's laughing, you know what I mean? Like he has a cape under, you know what I mean? With a big letter S, and he's a Superman. But as I mentioned before, Darren and I, we are driving that every hour guest in the studio we do have. They have some special skills and some truly superpowers, not just, you know, to help you, but to help you with their experience and their story and to empower you. That's a very important word, to empower you, because, you know, it's cold outside, it's winter, and before we chop off the trees in the park, you know, I mean, start make the log fire in the backyard, I like to juicing our guest, Darren. So we have the guest in studio. He has an interesting surname in Croatian language that means play. Anthony Igra. Anthony, welcome to the studio.
Hi, Mario. Thanks for having me.
Listen, I tried to introduce you. You're going to take out your cape now and everything else? Like,
mate, I think everyone deserves to see my six-pack, don't you think so?
No, don't steal my show. That's mine, you know what I mean? Darren worked so hard to make this, you know, profile of me, like, you know, six-pack and everything.
Most definitely, Mario.
It's all in the lighting, as they say.
Yeah, well, I just want to say, like, you know, you have the 250,000 listeners at this very moment. So, like, it's a good number. But for our listeners now, tune in, not just in Sydney, Australia, but globally, because everybody who listens live can go on the website, live90.5fm.com.au, and you can tune in, listen to this awesome show, and you hear our guest. Anthony, once again, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Anthony, Darren and I, we have the usually, you know, very simple question for beginning, you know, credit card number and the PIN number. So, like, you can leave this straight away to us.
Never doubted that for a second, mate.
So, who is Anthony Igra?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Anthony Igra is a middle-class white male, age 51.
What? When you say the middle age, you think that's the 50s a new middle age?
No, I think it's the early middle ages.
Early middle ages.
Yeah, I think it's early middle ages, really.
And who is Anthony? Where are your work?
Who am I? I'm the son of European post-war immigrants, I think.
Where's it from, your parents?
Yeah, my father's from Poland. My mother's from Hungary.
Mm-hmm.
My father passed away 20 years ago. But They met in Sydney in the late 60s.
Oh, okay.
Mid to late 60s in Sydney. She was actually married beforehand, mm-hmm. and she was running a cafe in King's Cross when the Cross was a very ritzy place to go out to in the 60s.
Look, I don't know that much about history with King Cross, yeah. but I heard that it was not always been the district of the fun only. It was a very...
No, it was very swanky part of Sydney yeah. in the 60s, a very fashionable place to go out on a Saturday night. But Les Girls were there, and it was cafe kind of opposite Les Girls when that used to be there. And he used to stop there for dinner, my father, on his way home.
Okay.
And that's how they met. And so then she left... She left her...
Did she have a choice? Did he say, listen, I like you, but so now stop everything, now come with me.
Yeah, she did. He was quite artistic, my dad, and he used to sketch her on the napkins while he was eating.
Yeah.
While she was going around. So there's a tip, you know. That's a very interesting way to make
Darren,
a woman
that's that type of the approach to the woman. You're sketching on a salviette, on a napkin. It's a long time ago. Yeah. You now, it's a, now it's a selfie. Look at me, baby.
It's right. a selfie. And me and my sketching may not be so yeah, I was gonna say, if you, a romantic relationship.
If you came up with just a stick figure and said, this is you, honey, I don't think you'd get too far.
Yeah, that's yeah. true. Right?
Yeah.
So they met and they decided to,
yeah, yeah.
you know.
Yeah, got married and... I was born in 1968. My brother was born in 1970. And we had kind of a... It was not a good marriage. It was my father's fourth marriage. Fourth.
Love is in the air.
Yeah. Well, not quite then. So okay. I was actually then with my brother and my mother. My mother left. I left him. They separated. And it was quite an odd thing to have a single mother in 1970, you know. That was not...
it was a different very perception different. Of the society.
Yeah, yeah. And we moved into a... she had no money. My father was very well-to-do. He had a very good business. And but, you know, at that time, the state of the family courts and family law was... She had to kind of make do on her own for quite a while. And we moved into this tiny place, which is still there, funnily enough, in King's Cross...
When you say tiny place, how tiny? It's for it the was, midgets or for the... It's like
yeah, well, it was small even when I was 2.5 years old, so I'm sure...
So you grew up really on a King Cross?
No. We were only there for a little while. I grew up okay. in Bondi Beach.
Seriously? Why would you say that? You know, I mean, like yeah. I was expecting, I mean, it's going to be, you know, no. still King Cross.
Well, yeah, but beach. Hang on. Bondi Beach in the early 70s... That is not the Bondi Beach of today. Bondi Beach in the...
Can you describe us your childhood in Bondi? How that was look like?
It was...
Apart from seeing Darren and I running every day on a beach.
Bondi was a very tumble-down, run-down place. A lot of post-war immigrants lived there mm-hmm. at the time. It was very ramshackle. It is not the trendy place it is today. That really only started in the 1990s. We had an old building. The weekly rent was $37 a week for being right off the ocean walk.
Darren, you can... Can you confirm this price?
I need to relive my life, I think.
But
really?
Well,
$37 there.
$37 on the beach.
No, it's $37 per hour. I'm like,
you know what? I went back there. That same apartment I grew up in.
Yeah.
Was put on the market in about 2001.
Yes.
And it sold, and I went in to look at it, and God, it was small now that I was grown up. It was in the same condition that yeah. it was before, yeah. and it sold for $1.25 million.
Yeah.
In the same rundown condition. I couldn't believe it. But look, the life there is the one that now people look back on with fondness. It was crawling over rocks, crawling around the beach, crawling around parks. It was, you know, leaving, you know, on holidays, you'd be out the door at 8 a.m. and you wouldn't get home till 5 or 6 and no one cared where you were. And me and the neighborhood kids rode around on our bikes. And
can I ask you something? It's not related to nothing else than just that growing up on a Bondi. When you walk in a Bondi today and you know, obviously because you grow up and being your childhood, what would be your biggest happiness you're seeing now, the difference in the Bondi Junction now, sorry, Bondi Beach and right now, what is the biggest difference you're seeing now, apart of the shops and everything else? Do you see it's a culture change, or is like less immigrants living there, or do you see that even the kids, it doesn't play the places you used to play?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is Bondi is very much now for show.
Well, we have that famous show. What's it called? Bondi Rescue, right? Or something.
Well, besides from a TV show, it's very much a very image I think it's a very image conscious little pocket of the world now.
Yeah.
Full of beautiful people. And although I fit in there perfectly most of the time, Murray, and certainly you would too. It's very, very showy. Sometimes I don't really feel at home there anymore. It used to be a place really, it was very working class.
Yeah.
And it was just a, fish and chip shops and other little stores and fruit shops, etc. Now it's been replaced by boutiques and clothing boutiques and swanky eateries and places. It's very, very different.
See, that's what makes you unique, Anthony, with us, with our listeners. We love to hear the story, you know what I mean? Not just, how successful you are because you're a successful businessman, but what it is makes you human, it's that you will remember $37 per week. $37 per week. It was a rent, Darren.
And there wasn't much furniture in there.
How much was a meat pie or sausage pie in the 70s? Tell me,
Darren.
Come on.
30 cents, I say.
Oh God.
No, but a paddle pop. I can tell you with great authority that a paddle pop back then was 8 cents.
8 cents. Okay, I'm just in Australia, 21 years. Do we take a short break? You're listening live, 90.5 Business Insights in Mario. With us in studio is Anthony Igra, who's going to continue with us a little bit later, just to take a short break. Thank you for listening.
Alive 90.5.
Talk about it, talk about it, talk about it. to?
Funky Town.
Won't you take me to?
Director of Cherry Brook Real Estate, Sam Ramon, is a specialist in property management in residential in the Hills District. He prides himself on taking the stress out of property management and looking after your investment at a competitive rate. If you need property management, please call Sam Ramon from Cherry Brook Real Estate on 9980 9860. Station sponsor.
Station sponsor Lynn's Fine Needlework is a one-stop shop for all your patchwork, quilting, needlecraft supplies and tuition. On lynnsfinenedlework.com.au, you'll see over 3,000 patchwork fabrics, hundreds of pattern kits, threads and lots of interesting projects for your selection. Their classes cater for beginners to advanced students who work at their own pace and receive individual attention. Enrol now by phoning 9686 2325. Lynn's Fine Needlework at Suite 2, 97 Hills Road, Baulkham Hills. Sponsor, Keith Till's I Get Around Show every Thursday at noon.
It's All I Listen To, Alive 90.5, playing cool music.
It's 28 minutes past 10, you're alive. 90.5, yeah. Business Insights with Mario.
Well, thank you, Darren, very much for this one. And let's go continue with our guest, Anthony Igra. Anthony, your childhood. So you grew up on the Bondi. And what life brought to you then after the Bondi?
We were there for a while. We moved to various places around Bondi, North mm-hmm. Bondi. And then finally, after 18 years, my parents finally got a divorce settlement.
18 years.
18 years, yeah. It was a long, drawn-out back and forth. And we then bought a house in Newport Beach.
Okay.
Up on the northern beaches. Yeah, yes, long way away. That, by then I was just in university then. So and you know, we were seeing our dad on the weekend. And we moved up to Newport Beach and I was up there for 5 years.
Yeah.
I quite liked it up there, but it was way too far from, you know, I went to New South Wales University. It was miles away, but enjoyed the kind of beach lifestyle up there. And
did you surfing and all these things? Yeah,
I'm never much of a surfer. I was quite a swimmer, but not much of a surfer. But I stayed away from the surfies.
You know? Yeah.
And after that, finally in 1994, I was moved out. And where did I go back, Mario? But back to Bondi.
Of course you did. Of course you did. Bondi, it's a terrific place now. I don't remember any from your times, but I must say it's a very lucrative place to be, and it's healthy.
Yeah, look, it was back then. You know, I still train three mornings a week, but then I was quite into a lot of running. And I run the Bondi to Bronte almost every morning, and that was from 1994. And what was I doing then? Yes.
Remember, it's like a blackout. It's like
trying to work it out. So at that time, you see, when I finished university, I finished an arts degree with a major in literature. Okay. And theatre studies.
And you're sitting between the studio, who's English sixth language, you know what I mean? Like, and thank you very much.
Well, I've got to have some advantage here, you know. But,
that's
right. I'm a very bookish type of person, and I didn't really know what to do with my life, as you know, in a broader sense.
Yeah, we all
hear
that, yes.
Didn't really know in a broader sense. Just remember the times that when I had finished university in 1990, we had that recession. Things were pretty bad. You kind of bounced around for a little bit. So I went into some sales roles, and if we look at 1994, so I was actually selling cars. I was selling BMWs.
That's interesting. You finished university, and you know, obviously it was a recession. Mm. I mean, I was in Australia at that time, and I don't know. But you know, how did you land a job to sell the cars?
God,
was it just a pure accident? Or?
Yeah, it was a pure. It was a referral from someone who knew the dealer principal, and he rang me up. And
did you enjoy the selling the cars? Not really.
Up and down. I didn't really enjoy it. Specifically, people who came to buy BMWs just say not warm, fuzzy people, Mario.
They
let me know my place.
Well, look, that's a sad part of the life. You know, I mean, there's always going to be that gap. You know, I mean, we can talk in public, you know, diversity. We all same. We all this and that. But eventually, we all different roles of the life and the jobs. And of course, there's going to be somebody who's going to try to portray himself better. So, what's your intake of this role and sales of the NWO?
Look, it made you did learn how to negotiate.
Yeah.
Pick up a poker face,
yeah,
and not develop quite a thick skin in how people treated you.
Okay.
To develop a thick skin and just keep your mind focused on what you had to do and negotiation, which helps me to this day.
May I ask you something? Like, you know, we started a conversation very well. You know, smile on the face, your energy, everything else. If something happened, then would you like to share with us? Is something negative experience?
Something happened.
Yeah, like a negative experience when you were working down the role as a BMW.
Oh, was there a negative experience?
Yeah.
Oh, look, you had a few people complained about me.
Oh, okay, well, that's normal, you know. I mean, like, I can stand in line with you.
Not a particularly negative experience. It's just I wasn't fantastic at it. I was just kind of very middle of the road. And when I do something, I do like to be very, very good at what I do. And it just didn't gel with me to the point that I felt I was something that I didn't want to do it, obviously, even for the medium term. It was something to do and it paid my bills. And I thought, well, could I get good at it? Do I really like it? Probably not. And, you know, after about 3.5 years, I think it was, or 4 years, 3.5 years, I let it go. I just resigned and I left. And great learning.
What did you then do?
What did I do then? I actually took, about a year off.
Okay.
Or 6 months off. I just actually didn't. I had enough money just to not do anything for a while. And I'd been working for, since uni, just nonstop. I hadn't traveled at all. A lot of my friends and peers had taken that gap year.
Yeah, yeah.
I never got to do it. I never didn't have the money to do it.
Yeah.
And I never had any downtime. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to take some downtime. Even if it's at home, how bad can it be? I'll get up late, go to Bondi Beach, chill out, swim, enjoy. And that's what I did. Around the same time, so my father was not very well at all during this time. So
we're talking about mid-90s, right? That's what
mid-90s. So he had smoked his whole adult life.
Mm.
But when I say smoke, I mean crazy. I'm talking 40 to 60 cigarettes a day. I'm talking insane. Lighting one cigarette when you already had one burning that he'd forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
And it destroyed his lungs. And his emphysema hit him probably in the mid-90s or early 90s. And then just what happens with emphysema is your lung capacity just starts to shrink.
Mm.
And it started to shrink and shrink and shrink. So he was getting quite unwell. And we started to discuss what life would be like if he wasn't around.
Mm-hmm.
And what was his affair. He had a lot. He was also a very artistic type, even though he's quite successful. He was a very he was an artistic type, and so he didn't look into details like wills and homes and other things that he'd done in his life that remained still incomplete.
Even today,
incomplete. Very complete, but at that time he said, "Well, now I need to tell you about all this," and there were a whole various range of things in his life that were just so silly that he'd done in a very innocent way, you know, entered into certain dealings and arrangements in an innocent way. And even at that age, I could see, Dad, we have to go and shut all that down, fix all that up, and get a lawyer in to fix you with all this stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. So that took a good 3 to 4 years of
clearing that
to do all that. Even when I started working in 1998 for a phone company in corporate sales.
Okay.
And also in 1998, I started a business degree at Macquarie University, and it wasn't an MBA that I was doing, but it was on the way to an MBA. In the end, I didn't do a full MBA; I did a master's, which I finished in 2000. But at that time, I'm studying, I'm working full-time, I'm doing uni 2 nights a week, And I'm with him two nights a week trying to sort through 30 years of total mayhem and documentation and so on. And you know what? It's the skills of arts degree and the wordsmithery and your arts degree that comes to the fore, because I could take 1,000 pages of text, yeah, sort it out, make sense of it, and deal with it. And people often laugh at arts degrees or literature degrees or that type of thing, but that's a very powerful skill set, and that is exactly the skill set that I build my business on.
You know the powerful it is? Your story. I'm just looking how you're talking about, and you take this task on yourself, you know what I mean, to help your father, you know what I mean, and, you know, to clear all this, you know, artistic work, you know what I mean, with the details. And for that one, I truly I admire you for that.
Thank you.
Well, we'll take a short break so you can have some sip of water.
Sure.
You're listening to Live 90.5 Business Insight. Mario with us in studio, it's Anthony Igra from Contractors Debt Recovery Agency. And we're going to continue after a few minutes with his story.
Alive 90.5.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sometimes she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Huh? Because I'm happy. Clap along. Clap along if you feel like happy.
Pace is an urban renewal and property development specialist whose reputation is centred on delivering great places to live and work. They take pride in transforming and delivering harmonious communities. Located less than 30 minutes from Sydney CBD, Washington Park, developed by Pace, is an entirely new urban renewal situated amongst beautiful parklands and open spaces. Washington Park delivers an environment designed to promote healthy living and social interaction. Pace, transforming places since 1978. Station sponsor.
Need an honest, reliable service centre for your car? Then contact United Service Centre Toongabby. They perform mechanical repairs on all types of vehicles and are specialists in top quality European cars too. And all work is at very affordable prices. You'll find them at 5 Picasso Crescent, Old Toongabby, next door to United Fuel on Fitzwilliam Road. Book your next vehicle service on 9631 1179. You'll be so impressed, you'll tell all your friends. United Service Centre Toongabby is a proud sponsor of The Morning Magazine with Happy Jack and Alive 90.5.
All today's hits and yesterday's favourites.
Alive 90.5.
It's 17 minutes to 11. You're on Business Insights with Mario, and it's 15 degrees, a bit drizzly outside, but nice and warm in the studio. And we're with Anthony Igra, and he's talking a lot about...
Yeah, all I'm hearing, it's somebody who's very determined and a kind and generous person, and not just because of his parent, but, you know, I truly admire his life story. So, Anthony, what was the move then after the, you helped your father?
You're
doing the university twice per week at night, so I was then going with your father as well. That's a big burden for...
It was four nights a week I was going and doing assignments on weekends, so that was an exhausting period of time, and he was getting sicker and sicker. He was in hospital, out of hospital. And so finally, in February 2000, he died.
Mm-hmm.
He had no, his lung capacity had fallen below 10%. So all you can do is lie there on a ventilator. And that was very, very sobering, but you can't say it wasn't expected.
Yeah.
And so I have to say, I was 31, and I have to say that's when my adult life probably started. Because all my 20s was just working. Yeah. I didn't really have much money to speak of. I didn't have any options of couldn't travel or do other things. My life became very serious very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So after he died, I decided to smell the roses a bit. So I was the executor of his estate.
Okay.
And thank God for those three preceding years, because I knew where everything was and what was going on and everything. And I can you imagine you'd be thrown in the deep end otherwise. So before dealing with all of that, I took a holiday. I had so much leave from my work. I was still working. By then I'd moved out of sales in that company and I was an operations manager.
Okay.
So I had got about 40 or 50 people that I was managing.
Did you go by BMW?
No, definitely not. No.
That's a good man. That's a good one, yeah.
They just dropped too much cash, right?
Yeah.
I had a Mitsubishi Mirage, I'll have you know.
Oh, very sexy car.
Tremendous. Oh, very successful in that regard. So at that time. So I booked a holiday. So in August 2000, I went away for 6 weeks to the United States to meet my uncles, whom my father's two brothers lived in an America in Miami, and I'd met one when I was 12, just briefly, and never met the other.
Yeah.
So I did a big Contiki tour of the United States. So I started in LA, and we went right across America to St. Augustine's on the on the East Coast, and then all the way up the East Coast to New York.
Yeah.
And I had some family in New York, had some family in Miami. I had and had a great time. It was really a fantastic time. And then
did you have a desire to come back to Australia or stay in?
No, I definitely didn't want to stay in the US. It was a good place to visit, but no thanks. Food was bloody awful, and God, I remember asking for a roast beef sandwich, and they gave me a cow between two pieces of bread.
Oh my God!
Just ridiculous.
Yeah, because they have the sizes,
sizes,
right?
My God, it was just gross. Anyway, look, I had good people there and it was good fun, and then stayed with some further family in Houston, and then came home, and I was home for only a few months until the tech wreck hit, and the company that I worked for was really part of a subsidiary of an American company,
yeah.
And the all these companies went under. This is towards the end of 2000. And our company, the company that I worked for, put in a huge amount of redundancies, and yeah. I was one of them. So that was in 2000 and was
late
2000, early 2001.
Yeah.
And that was, it was kind of bittersweet. So first of all, it was sweet because they gave me 6 months pay and said you leave immediately, which means I didn't have to deal with any of the problems after lunch.
Yeah,
after lunch. and I had a lot of cash. They said see you later, at me and amongst a lot of other people. But I also decided then shortly after that I don't want to work for anyone else anymore.
Why? Tell me why. I'm waiting for this very moment. Tell me why.
Because it just annoyed the hell. How well, because I had done a fantastic job, and it's quite of a sense of devaluation when you go, mate, we're scaling back and we just don't need you anymore. And in my own mind, I thought, if there's one person you do need in all this mess, it's me.
I tell you something, you know, which I really appreciate, and Darren's can, you know, Darren, you can, you know, was GFC was 2009 in February. Like I was as well in corporate world, and you know, I mean, I was finally coming to that role where you are, you know, you're happy, you get a good salary, everything else, and then suddenly envelope on Monday morning, you know what I mean? I didn't even have a first sip of coffee and get out because we can't sustain your salary, you know, we make redundancies. And then I realized actually in the workplace you have so much responsibility, accountability, but there's no control. You have no control over nothing.
That's it, control. I mean, as tough as running your own show is, the independence you have gives you a sense of calm because I've got no one on my back saying, what about this, what about that, except me.
And what makes a difference for you now when you're working for yourself? You're seeing, you know, we used to work in corporate world. You come to work, you get paid, but you've been used your time. Now you need to fight for your pay, but you're managing your time on your different way. Do you know how better to use the time in the business?
Well, that's right. Not only I decide how I use my time, but there's a sense of not being limited as to what you can do, because in any type of business, there are services you can add, services you can take away, new things you can branch out into, and it's exciting. And something might succeed, something might fail. You don't know, but that's the adventure of doing it. Look, we'll get to that probably later on, but you know, it's a
no. We're not there. No, we're not. We're going to come.
Oh, he's a tough man.
I'm joking. But so, like, when you started your business, this is the current business you're running now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so. Why did you decide to do, what's the name of your business you started, first of all? I mentioned a few times before, but...
Yeah, Contractors Debt Recovery.
Okay.
I started that in 2006, but you've jumped 5 years, Mario.
Oh, okay, sorry. Come on,
this is action-packed stuff.
Okay, well, so it's a blockbuster then, you know what I mean?
Time to go, you know. No, you're missing all the good stuff. So, look, it was 2001.
Yeah.
So I didn't really know what to do, but by then I had I'd sold my father's estate. I'd sold everything off, and my brother had some money. I had some money for the first time in my life. We had some money, and I didn't have to do something immediately to pay my rent or I could actually take a breather. So I took a breather, my friend, for about 18 months.
That's a long breather. Darren, we're going to take a breather as well.
Took a breather for about 18 months. But I have to tell you that we're taking a breather now.
Take a breather. We're going to take a breather.
A bit of music and a few sponsors.
I told you, like,
well,
we wind you up. But you have the next 6 hours with us. You're listening live 90.5 right. Business with Mario. With us in studio, it's Anthony Igra, Contracts of Debt Recovery, and very powerful, truthful, honest story of growing up on King Cross, Bondi Beach, Northern Beaches, and then as well launching his own successful business. Stay with us, Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
Are you in the market to hire an honest, reliable, long-term plumber? If so, you want to look out for one that is fully licensed and insured, has your interest at heart, displays professionalism and is branded. Neat, clean and tidy, and treats your domain with respect and care. Look no further. Waterflow Plumbing is your plumber. Fully licensed and insured in plumbing, draining, gas fitting, roof plumbing, waterproofing and mini excavation. Call Bradley on 04883 00480 or email info@waterflowplumbing.com.au. Waterflow Plumbing, station sponsor.
Pace is an urban renewal and property development specialist whose reputation is centred on delivering great places to live and work. They take pride in transforming and delivering harmonious communities. Royal Shores, developed by Pace, is a new waterfront community in Parramatta. Set right on the waterfront at the gateway to Sydney Harbour, Royal Shores is one of Pace's most unique urban developments to date. Pace, transforming places since 1978. Station sponsor.
The average person spends 44 minutes a day thinking about food. At OzHarvest, thinking about food is a full-time job because we're always looking for new ways to nourish our country and combat food waste and hunger. Every day, we rescue quality surplus food across Australia and deliver it to those who'd otherwise go hungry. And you can help. Every dollar donated to OzHarvest can provide two meals to people in need. Visit ozharvest.org. Thought for food.
It's 4 minutes to 11 on Alive 90.5. Business Insights with Mario. Take it away for a
quick talk. Thank you, darling. We don't have much time, but, you know, we're going to continue grilling our guest who shared with us his honest, truthful, powerful story, which will inspire many. Anthony Igra from the Contract Talks Debt Recovery. So, Anthony, for the very first time you have some money in your brother, you take a breather for 18 months, eh?
That's a long breather. I was wiped out. It was very, very stressful, the whole...
It is, like, you know, losing the parent, it's not...
Losing the parents, sorting out the estate, it was all up to me. There was no one else. I didn't have any uncle or I didn't have any other figure in my family. It was all down to me. I had to make some quite big decisions involving quite some sums of money, and it was not easy. So I was exhausted. So I didn't really know what I wanted to do, so at that time I had some money. So the first thing I did was buy my own place. So I bought an apartment.
Let me guess, Bondi?
No, Randwick. I'd moved on. Can I? Let's go back to Bondi. When I was living in Bondi, you know, it'd become the backpacker nightmare, Bondi, with British backpackers and other backpackers.
Yeah.
And I was right in the thick of it. And there was one Saturday night where I heard it, an English boyfriend and girlfriend have a very foul-mouthed yelling match.
Yeah.
Out on the street. And at the same time, I could hear my neighbours doing various things in the wall next to me. Also backpackers.
Like, look at,
they left their window.
You're like a stereo. You're gonna be like a stereo.
I had it in stereo, my friend, and I thought, you know what? Time to move out of here.
Yeah.
Time to move out of here. So, anyway, I bought an apartment in Randwick.
Yeah.
And it was my own place. It was very exciting. So that was 2002, early 2002. I finally had my own place. And it was only then that I thought, what next?
Well, we're going to take it now, the longer break, because we have the news, and we're going to continue after the news, 11 a.m., and you're going to hear the more from Anthony Igra, Contracts of Deborah Cavalry. And I'd like to say thank you, Deborah Iveson from the Bay PR Agency, for sending us Anthony with his interesting story. You're listening to Business Insights with Mario on the line, 90.5. We'll take a short break, and we'll come back. The Engine, Darren Capps, Davis, and Mario.
Here's the latest news, brought to you by Pace, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Laura Devoy. Labor's branch stacking woes have taken another twist with reports this morning of branch stacking in the New South Wales party. Murdoch newspapers are suggesting party heads were given a report in March, alleging